studied the Word of God because of dedicated workers. This morning in this service, those blind people sit in this service. They've not seen the sunshine today. They did not see the sunrise this morning. They will not see the sunset this evening. They've never seen this beautiful building. This morning in this room, as I stand here, there's a group of people who are deaf. They are not hearing my voice now. They did not hear the choir special. They did not hear the trio sing a while ago. They did not hear the men's ensemble sing a while ago. They're deaf. They've never heard the voice of an I love you. They've never heard the sound of the whippoorwill and the cricket at night or the friendly Bob White. They're deaf. This morning, and I'm so glad today to see the Pathfinders back with us. Wave at me, Pathfinders. I'm so glad to see you back. Because the spring program is so big and the crowds are big, they go to their own department. During church, they stay there during the spring program. But when the spring program's over, they come back. And I've missed you, and I'm glad to see you back in the services. And they sit over here this morning, the Pathfinders. That's the educable, slow teenagers and adults. And now the question comes to all of us, especially if one of these is yours. Why would a little boy be born blind? Why would a little girl be born unable to see? Why would a child be unable to hear? Why would somebody's child be normal in mental development and somebody's child be educable slow? Why? Why? Such was the case here. Here was a man that was blind from his birth. And the disciples asked the question, who has sinned? Has he sinned in another life and come back to live here, and is he being punished for sin in a past life? Or did his parents sin? Whose fault is it because of it? And then the usual suggestion comes, God sent the blindness in order that he may be glorified. I don't buy that for a minute. I cannot buy that. God does not make anyone blind. God does not twist any child's leg. Sin did that, ladies and gentlemen. I think we attribute some things to God that God does not do. Sin did it. God made man to glorify himself. Now, you're not, God said, I want man to glorify me. Well, God didn't make man crippled so he could glorify him. God made him innocent and without sin so man could glorify him. God did not make man a cripple to praise him. God made man well so he could leap and praise him. God didn't make man deaf or dumb, mute. He did not make man that way to praise him. God made man so he could speak. Now, I want to say this morning. Everything bad about this old world, don't you attribute it to God. That's the devil's business. Everything was fine till the booger man got here. And, that's not God's fault. And I don't think that God for a single minute calls a person to be deaf or a person to be blind or a person to be crippled. Not for a minute. Satan, through sin, causes it all. And, by the way, you said, then why does God allow it? All right. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But all aren't saved. Why aren't all saved? Because of sin. A sin brought death. And sin brought sickness. And sin brought disease. I'm not saying that everybody that sinned, that is deaf or blind, he sinned or his parents sinned. I'm not saying at all. But I'm saying that the devil, through sin, is the cause of all disease and sickness and so forth. Now, don't blame God. I remember years ago, I can see it just like it were yesterday. In a Sunday morning service, little church outside of Marshall, Texas, called Grange Hall Baptist Church. We must have had 150 people there that morning. And sitting right down here, about the third row or fourth row from the front, was a couple. I can see them now. He was about 5'10", was sandy-haired, sort of almost blonde. She was about 6 foot tall. 5'12" is 6 foot tall. And she was about 6 foot and tall and black hair and erect and stern-looking. And I remember that morning, I did not know who they were, and they sat down here on the front. And I gave the invitation. I said, anybody that's not saved, you want to be saved. Would you lift your hand, please? And this man was sitting over here on this side. He raised his right hand. His eyes were shut. His wife did not know he raised his hand. And she raised her left hand. Eyes were shut. He did not know she raised her hand. I remember the name. The name was Berry, B-E-R-R-Y. And I pleaded with them to get saved. They would not get saved. The following Thursday, I went to their home Thursday night and visited. Never forget what she said. She said, I wouldn't trust God. God killed my baby. We had a little baby, and God took my baby. And I hate God. I'm bitter against God. Oh, let me tell you something. Don't you ever get bitter against God. We have folks in this room that are bitter at God, and that is the most unbelievable thing in the world. Brother, after you give your boy, you give your only boy, and watch him down a cross, and watch him shed his blood, and watch him dip his own soul into hell. For somebody, you wouldn't expect that somebody to be bitter at you. You have no reason to get bitter at God. None whatsoever. God is good, and God is great. And this little lady, and by the way, it hadn't turned out right. What you mean is, it hadn't turned out like you think it's right. But since you're not God, and you're not omniscient, you don't know what right is, and you don't know what good is, and you know what best is. But let me serve notice, ladies and gentlemen, our God is good, and our God is great. And God never does anything to hurt us, and God did not cause your blindness, and God did not cause you to be deaf, and God did not cause you to be crippled, and God did not cause your leukemia, and God did not cause your hepatitis, and God did not cause your cancer. Everything that's evil and bad was caused by Satan and the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. But anyway, she looked at me and she said, no, I won't get saved. She said, God took my baby. Are you listening? God took my baby. And I hate God. I hate Him. I'm bitter against Him. I picked up the newspaper a few days later and I was shocked when I read a Mrs. Berry murdered her husband. He was on his knees and she shot him while she's standing looking down. He's begging for mercy and she shot him through the head, went right down like that through his head and killed him. Same fellow who less than two weeks before, had raised his hand and said, pray for me that I'll be saved. And that woman, now murderer, had raised her hand and said, pray for me. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't know where you'll be next Sunday morning. Last Sunday morning over there in the Sunday school office, I walked in for a while, and I was standing there talking to Cliff Anglin, and all of a sudden, through the corner of my eye, I saw Ken Minton come in. Anybody ever saw Ken Minton felt better after they saw him than they did before they saw him, I'll guarantee you. And I was standing there, and I saw Ken Minton. He didn't know I saw him, and I said, there's a friend or an enemy one behind me. Is it friend or foe? And Kenny Minton said, I have a friend. He said, I don't have any enemies. And then he realized that that wasn't Bible, so he said, well, maybe I do. Maybe a good Christian's supposed to have enemies. I don't know whether he had any enemies or not. I know one thing. He was nobody's enemy. And just as happy as could be and in good health. And then I think it was Thursday morning. Found him dead. Gone. We don't know. We don't know. And that little woman shot her husband and murdered. And then a few days later, oh, by the way, she got in the car and she was right going 80 miles an hour down Highway 43 toward Henderson, Texas, lost control of the car on the little two-lane highway, narrow two-lane highway, and hit a tree and she was dead. And I could hear as I preached her funeral service and preached a funeral service for her husband, I could hear her say, I hate God. I'm bitter against God. No, God didn't take her, baby. Nobody would ever have died if God had His way. If Satan hadn't have come and brought sin, and if you and I hadn't have listened to him, nobody would ever get sick, and no child would ever have a bad cold, and nobody would ever have pneumonia. And our deacon, Davis, would not be in St. Joseph's Hospital this morning with internal bleeding and cancer worse, and with, say, terminal cancer. I'm simply saying, don't you blame God. I'm tired of God getting blamed for a lot of stuff. Now, let me say this. Well, okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it says that Paul said to the Corinthian people when they had this fellow in the church that was living in sin with his stepmother, Paul said, deliver him to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. God doesn't destroy the flesh. Satan destroys the flesh. Deliver Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Don't you recall when Satan wanted to bother Job? He came to God and said, let me have him. God did not afflict Job. Satan afflicted Job. And don't you blame God. Now, Mr. Terry, now, what does it really say? Let me say this. It may be sometimes that God will allow an affliction inflicted by Satan to continue for a while for your own good. Let's say here's a child that has a fever. And the child is so sick with a fever. And the mother comes and cares for the child. The child says, "Mama, I feel better today." But the mama says, "Now, honey, you better stay in bed for a couple more days now. You can't get up and run and play yet. You're well, but you better stay in bed." Sometimes God allows it for our own good, for Satan's affliction to linger for a while. But God doesn't make anybody sick. Now listen carefully. Here's what it really says. God is saying here in this wonderful little story, He's saying, this man didn't sin to cause his blindness, and his parents didn't sin to cause his blindness, but he said, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him, we must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. What he's saying is this, he's saying that sin came and sickness came, but Jesus does not bring the sickness, the very ministry of Christ is to heal the sick and bind up the brokenhearted and save the lost. And that means when those who minister to blind people lead them, they're in work with Jesus Christ. Now, may I come down to what I'm saying? I sat here yesterday morning and watched our City Baptist High School graduation. And I watched that great army of workers at work with the BC and D bus kids. They didn't know exactly how to act like the rest of us. They had their processional. When the Hammond Baptist said their processional, we all looked with dignity. But when City Baptist said theirs, some of the visitors said, "Attaboy, babe!" We didn't holler, "Attaboy, babe." We're not going to do it to Hiles Anderson. It'll be the last time you'll ever holler if you do. But somehow I thought it was right. And somehow, "Attaboy, babe!" And somehow I thought it wasn't bad. And as they came down, and I realized that I told Brother Pennell was sitting over here just tears streaming down his cheeks. And he said, "This is New Testament Christianity, Brother Howell. That's what this is. This is New Testament Christianity." I thought, this is the crowd that Jesus loved. And if we enter into the work of healing the sick, or guiding the blind, or working with the educable slow, or working with the deaf, we are hand in hand with Jesus, because Jesus said, this man didn't sin, mother didn't sin, but that the works of God might be manifested in him, we must work the works of him that sent me on this day. He's saying, to glorify God, we heal him and we help him. And my mind wandered back yesterday morning. I'm sure Erlene remembers this. I remember just like it was yesterday when she was 17 years of age and she's graduating from high school. And my mama saved up somehow and got $10. In those days, you didn't have caps and gowns. You had to have a formal dress. And you had baccalaureate, too. You had baccalaureate and commencement. You had to have one formal dress for baccalaureate and one for commencement. And I remember my mother took me to town, and we bought some material. And she had $10. And for $10, she bought enough material to make Erlene two formal dresses. And we, in a little house, by the way, on Ramona Street, and a house that had cracks in the floor. And one day a snake crawled up between those cracks in that floor. And I ran in and I saw a snake in the living room. Oh, brother, I hate them. I hate anything that crawls. I hate a snake. I hate a worm. I don't like a baby till he's old enough to walk. And crawl. We lived in that little shack of a house. And I remember early in the dress, it had puff sleeves. And it was yellow and white. I think it was material type, organdy, and it was yellow and white. And as I saw those kids yesterday morning, I said, "There we were. We what we would have been. That's where we were." Oh, let me tell you something. Our Savior has a wonderful love for the poor. He has a wonderful love for the retarded people. He loves you so much this morning. When we enter into loving those who are educable slow, we enter into the very work of God Himself. Jesus isn't saying, "I made you blind, buddy, so I could get some glory." Jesus didn't do that. He wouldn't call
cause anybody to have a twisted leg or blind eyes or deaf ears so he can get some glory. No, no, he's saying so I can get some glory and the works of God be made manifest. He's saying I'm going to open your eyes and heal you and take care of you. That's my work. Oh, let me say the First Baptist Church of Hammond. Let's never forget the down and outers. Let's never forget those down in the human heart, crushed with a tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, chords that were broken can vibrate once more. Let the enemy say, all they're interested in is numbers out there. Let them rant and rave. But let it not be true. Let it not be true. No, nobody's interested in having the largest anything. We're interested in reaching the ones that Jesus would reach. I told the students this yesterday morning. My mother, one day, she was up around 80, I guess. I took her soul winning with me one day. And we went out to Highland. And I still recall who won. Won Mrs. Allmiller to Christ that day. We won Mrs. Allmiller to Christ. And after that, we went over here to the Columbia Center. And a little walked in place. And the lady had an afflicted child in a bed there. And we walked in, and my mother, who also had a child just like that when she was a young lady, she looked and saw the child. And she told the little lady, said, I used to have a child like that. And the lady said, you did? She was happy my mother used to have a child like that. And mother said, yes, I used to have a child like that. And my mother won her to herself. It was not hard for me to win her to Jesus over the body of a little child out in Columbia Center. And then I forgot this yesterday, but a crippled girl out there, about 17-year-old crippled girl, we won her to Jesus. And went out in Black Oak and won a poor person to Jesus. And then went over to Indiana Harbor and went into a tavern. The address was a tavern. And, oh, they have good refreshments there. And we went that, and we said, where's Mrs. Rodriguez? And they said she lives in an apartment around the back of the tavern. And my mother and I walked around the back of the apartment, and Mrs. Rodriguez came to the door. And she said, come in, Father, come in. I'm Father. Come in, Father, come in. And Mother and I walked in, and I told her the story of Christ. Wonderful story of love, tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love, wake the immortal strain. Angels with rapture announce it, shepherds with wonder receive it. Sinner, oh, won't you believe it? Wonderful story of love. And I told it to her. I've told it across this country and around the world all these years. It never gets old. It's always fresh and new. Never time I tell anybody how to be saved. I wish I lost myself so I get saved again. And we told her. And we knelt and she prayed and she got saved. And then she didn't know what to say. And she said, that was a good blessing, Father. That was a good blessing, Father. She said, bless me again, Father. I didn't know how to bless anybody. I put my hand on her head. That's what I thought you're supposed to do. And I said, Hail Mary. No, I didn't say that. And I prayed for her again. And she said, oh, thank you. That was a second blessing. And she said, thank you, thank you. Next Sunday morning, she walked the aisle and got saved. Wasn't long till she died. By the way, her son, every Christmas, sends us a $100 check in memory of his mother. But here's what I want to say. That day, we'd want to little girl that was in a wheelchair, 17 years of age. We'd won a mother who had a little crippled girl, couldn't get out of her bed. We'd in Columbia Center. We'd won a poor lady over in Black Oak. We'd won that lady behind the tavern, a poor Mexican lady. And as we got in the car, my mother was just tears just streaming down her cheeks. And she said, son, that's wonderful. And I said, Mama, why are you crying? And my mama said, I think that's what Jesus would have done today if he lived in Hammond. I know that's what he'd done. I thought yesterday morning, if Jesus lived in Hammond, he'd have been here. Of course, you weren't. You're not interested in it, but Jesus would have been here yesterday morning. That little girl, given an award yesterday morning from Cambodia, saw her loved ones murdered and slaughtered in cold blood. And finally, with her mother escaped, Cambodia got on a boat. And her own loved ones died on the boat. And she walked on the dead bodies of her own loved ones on the bottom of the boat. And yesterday morning, she walked up here and got her diploma from City Baptist High School. And I thought, that's what it's all about. That's what Jesus is not saying here. I made him blind so I could get some real credit and real glory. No, he's saying the devil made him blind. Now my work is to work the works of him that sent me on his day. It is my job. To love the blind, and that's why he went to the cross, the Calvary. He It says, by His stripes we're healed. And every time you win a soul to Christ, you guarantee a future healing completely.
I couldn't help but think. I saw myself. I talked to one boy yesterday morning. He was graduating. And he said, my daddy's here. My daddy's here. And I remember that night, 41 years ago, when I graduated, and I scanned the crowd, tried to find my daddy. My daddy wasn't there. He was out drunk somewhere. He wasn't there. Ladies and gentlemen, this man born blind was an opportunity for Jesus to heal him, but Jesus didn't hurt him, and he didn't. Listen, your problems. God doesn't cause your problems. God's the solution to your problems. Now, sometimes God lets the devil have a little rope, and sometimes God permits the devil to do what sin caused and what the devil causes. But God is good. And I couldn't help but think of that first day years ago when I... 26 years ago, this August 24th. No, August 29th, August 27th. When I came to my office over here for the first time as pastor of this church, I was unpacking my books and putting them on the bookshelf that day, first day as pastor here. And the secretary called me and said, Brother Hiles, said, there's a gentleman here who wants to see you. And I'll never forget it. I thought it was probably the mayor of the city coming to give me the key to the city. It was not. I looked out in the hallway. My door was open about like that because it's coming in and out with books and boxes. Looked out, there's an old man there. He was twisting an old dirty cap. His hair was long, and it was so dirty, it was matted and long. And his beard, his face was ill-shaven. And his neck was caked like the parched Texas ground when it doesn't rain all summer long. And he had an old white shirt that now is yellow. And he had rope for a belt holding up his trousers, a rope. And he had patches on his knees. And shoes were cut over each toe. And he was standing there. And I told the secretary, I said, tell him I'm busy. I've got so much to do. And she said, Pastor, is that really what you want me to tell him? I said, no, it isn't. No, it isn't. I said, send him in. And she sent him in. And I looked at him. And I'll not go into the whole story. But God was trying to teach me a lesson the first day I was pastor here. This was the downtown church. We had some wealth in those days. And I won't go into all that. The mayor of the city of Hammond, the outgoing mayor, when he just had served the previous year, was a member of this church in those days. I watched that old man. I told him about Christ. We knelt and prayed. And as we prayed, I looked to the wall, and as if somebody had taken a projector and shined on the wall, I saw the 8th Psalm. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. For out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength to cause thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heaven, the work of thy hands, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him little lower than the angels, thou hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou hast put all things under his feet, thou madest him that hath been the work of thy hands. All sheep and oxen, yea, the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And I remember, as I saw the 8th Psalm, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And that old man prayed. And after he prayed, I hugged him. He trusted Christ as his Savior. And as he walked out the door, I'll never forget it, all of a sudden, his hair was cut. All of a sudden, his face was freshly shaved. And all of a sudden, his shirt was white as snow. And his trousers fit, and they had a belt through the loophole. And all of a sudden, his shoes were shined to a high gloss, and he was twisting a derby, I thought. And I bowed and I said, Sir, thank you for coming to my office today. What an honor it's been to have you here today. And that old mom looked at me as if I'd gone crazy. And I'll never forget it.
I got on my knees and said, "Dear God, that's why I'm here."
Fool you on the mayor! I'm not here to welcome the mayor! I don't care about a key to the city! Give me a key to the hearts of fallen people like that old man.
I remember several months later, I took Dave and we went down to the Union Gospel Mission. Used to be down here on Columbia. What was that fellow's name used to run at? Anyway, yeah, Hiddle. And we went down there, and Dave was, I think, 6 years old, and we were sitting on the front row, and I was about to be introduced. And in fact, the mission, Mr. Hiddle got up and said, "We have Dr. Hiles from First Baptist Church, Hammond. We're so honored to have him." And I was going to preach, but he said before he preaches, he said, "We have the assistant superintendent of the rescue mission who's going to come, and he's going to sing a song for us, play the guitar and sing." And this fine, good-looking fellow walked out, trim, sort of built like me, and he walked out, had his guitar, and he started to sing, "When Jesus Comes, the Tempter's Power is Broken." And I looked at him, and I said, "I've seen that fellow." And I said to Dave, I said, "Doc, I know that man somewhere. You know him?" He said, "No, Daddy, I don't know." And I said, "I know him somewhere. I've seen that fellow somewhere." I said, "Son, are you sure you don't know who he is?" He said, "No, Dad, I don't know." And I said, "Doc, I've seen that man. That's the mom. That's the fellow who came to my office the first day I was pastor here." And about the time a light bulb came on over my head, that fellow could see it. And he stopped playing his guitar and looked out at me and held his hand like that and went, like that. I'll give you two guesses what a priest told that night. Psalm 8, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" God is good. God's not in the business of making folks sick. God's in the business of healing folks who are sick. God's not in the business of making eyes that are blind. God's in the business of saving us so someday we can live in a home where nobody will be blind anymore. God's not in the business of making folks deaf. God's in the business of saving us so deaf ears will be unstopped. He's not saying here, "That man's blind. I made him blind to be blind there, buddy, so I can get some glory after you've been blind during your childhood and your adolescent years. I'll get some glory." No. No. No, the devil did it, and sin caused it. And Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted and restore sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf. Oh, let me tell you something. We ought to quit our fussing with each other and love the people Jesus loved. We ought to quit our complaining and gossiping and critical natures and broken fellowships and relationships. And we ought to stop and realize if anybody in the world lives in an area where Jesus would work, it's Chicago, Illinois. And here we are, here with this great multitude of suffering society. And somebody needs to love them. The other day I was driving down Chicago, and I never do drive by myself down Chicago streets without weeping. Never do. I was driving down Indiana Street, Chicago, and I saw those apartment houses, one right after each other. And I saw 40 or 50 little kids out on the sidewalk with no yard to play in, and little bare feet and little dirty bodies. And I got to thinking, I wonder if anybody loves them. I wonder if anybody cares for them. And I got to thinking, this is the city of Dwight Moody. And the city of Billy Sunday. This is the city of Ore Torre. I wonder who cares. Let there be one church that cares. Let there be one preacher that cares. Jesus said, this man didn't cause his blindness. His mama didn't and his daddy didn't. Jesus didn't cause my daddy to be a drunkard. The devil caused that. Jesus didn't cause my mama to have to work her hands to the bone. Jesus caused that. The devil caused that. Jesus didn't cause my mama to have her teeth rot in her head, look like they were chiseled out of coal. Jesus didn't cause that. The devil caused that. Sin caused that. But hear what Jesus did.
Jesus gave my mom a permanent set of teeth on September 20th last year. He opened her eyes so she can see. He opened her ear so she doesn't have to use that hearing aid I bought her. He loves the down and outers. But He said, we must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. And every time one of our workers with a blind reaches out and says, let me be your eyes, that person reaches up and takes the hand of Christ and then reaches out and takes the hand of the blind person. Every time one of the deaf workers back here stands up and interprets, encourages the hearts of the deaf, that worker reaches up and takes the hand of Jesus and reaches down and takes the hand of the deaf and becomes a co-worker with Christ. Every time these precious workers over here with the educable slow people, every time they stand up and teach them the story of Christ, they reach up and take the hand of Christ and reach out and take the hand of the educable slow. And they work the works of Jesus and do His works. Let's dedicate ourselves not just to trying to have a big church and not just to trying to have a big spring program, but 365 days a year. Let's be the church with a heart. The church that works with those that Jesus would work with. I say, as I've said so often, I'm through, and forgive me for being a little extra. I say, as I've said so often, God's more concerned this morning about the widow lady than He is a lady that has a husband that loves her. God's more concerned about the blind than those that can see this morning. And God's more concerned about the deaf than those that can hear. And God's more concerned about the sick than those that are well. God's more concerned this morning about the Minton family than He is your family. Oh, we have a great God and a wonderful God. We ought to somehow take up the Psalms of David and say, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. God is great and God is good, and God's work is the work of helping those that are in need and poor and blind and deaf. And if I want to unite with Christ in the work, the great work that He's doing, I must also work with those for whom He died and whom He loves. Our Heavenly Father,